Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into Monday Scramble. Rex Hoggard, Will Gray, Chantel McCabe, and we have a special guest with us today who's out playing in a charity tournament, Chris DeMarco's charity tournament. Todd Lewis is on the phone right now. And nobody travels more than this guy. I think he has more airline miles saved up than anybody in this room. Todd Lewis, welcome in. And right now, you're getting ready, getting your swing together, and hopefully making a lot of birdies today, huh?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, I used to be a pretty good golfer until I started working at the Golf Channel. And then because you're on so many planes and so many hotel rooms, your golf game just deteriorates. So it'll be... I just feel bad for my partners out here, but it'll be fun.
Well, you have been able to cover everything. I don't think there's a stone untouched. You went to Rio. You've covered all of the majors. In your travels, what stands out to you this year with such a packed and exciting 2016 season?
Well, the majors are, you know, that's where great players are measured. And so those are going to be the most memorable. If I had to pick the best major that I was there working and watching and witnessing, it would have to be the Open Championship, seeing Henrik Stenson try to reel in his first major championship with Phil Mickelson right there, looking for his second Open Championship. Those two battling it out, I mean, it was a slugfest. And, you know, with two iconic, powerful names in the game going at it, that was great. But outside the majors, you know, you have to consider the Olympics. We all heard the stories going to Rio, the security issues, Zika. You know, you just didn't know the government there was a little sketchy, security. So we just didn't know. And when you hear those things, obviously you're going to be a little apprehensive, as were a lot of the athletes, many of them deciding, some of the best in the world, not to go. But, yeah, and Rex was there, and he believes what I believe. We were there. We were pleasantly surprised. It was quite a wonderful uniting of athletes, not just golfers. It was really cool to be in that atmosphere, to be in that Olympic bubble, and to see all of that transpire. And from a golf perspective, to see everyone there totally invested, and to get six winners from six different countries, and all of them, you know, pretty big names in the game. It was quite the spectacle, and it's going to be the highlight of my 2016 calendar year.
Hmm. Well, you were there, Rex. Why don't you tell us what stands out to you? What sights and sounds that the two of us might not have gotten to observe?
I think I totally agree with Tilo. You know, I think Todd's got it right. We all went down there. We didn't know what to expect. There have been a lot of media reports and a lot of players who decided not to go. So there was a lot of unknowns. And once you got down there and you were on property, so to speak, you're in country, so to speak, I think everyone, and he says pleasantly surprised, I'm going to say very surprised, because it was an incredible experience all the way around. And, I mean, the part that factors into this is you have a guy like Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson. You knew that it was really going to come down to one of these top players playing for the gold medal, playing for the silver medal. The part that got me the most is how much the bronze medal meant to Matt Kuchar. Name me another event in golf where you stand up and you celebrate when you're third. I mean, no one really does that. I mean, maybe at Q School, maybe the Web.com Tour Finals, but it really meant something to him. And I think that just added to how special the event was. And being in the village, or as close to the village as we were, every night you go to dinner in the NBC compound and someone would walk through. It would be a swimmer, it would be a gymnast, it would be, you know, someone from handball, which, by the way, is an incredible sport. I don't know who came up with that sport, but every night we would go, you know, to see something different. And it has such a different feel to it, and it was really an incredible experience.
Well, what sticks out to you?
Well, I was not in Rio. I did enjoy the handball from afar, though.
Isn't it cool?
It's curling during the Winter Olympics, handball during the Summer Olympics. Those are the under-the-radar good sports. But for me, I had my first trip out to Pebble Beach this year, and it was a similar set up. I'd never seen the course, so just there's the whole aspect as an avid golfer being able to see Pebble Beach and cover that event. I caught a great wave of weather, which Rex will attest almost never happens, where it's 72 and sunny for four or five straight days out there. And just seeing all of the different worlds come together. Jim Nantz ran a charity thing with Facebook on the seventh hole of Pebble on Tuesday or Wednesday, where everyone comes out and hits two balls, and you've got Justin Timberlake and Jim Harbaugh and Larry Fitzgerald and Aaron Rodgers and all of these people kind of coming in from all different walks, entertainers as well, and just to see them all come in, hit pretty terrible wedge shots all together. It was a cool week and certainly a cool event.
Yes. Well, that's definitely one to remember. Yeah. All of these tales from the road, with all the travel that everybody does, it's nice to reflect and look back on all the softer and the nice moments. Todd, of all of your interviews, you're one of the best in the business, I think. I'm not just pumping your tires over here, but from your perspective, who's the most memorable interview of this last season?
Wow. Let's see. The most memorable interview. So immediately I go to the major championships. Danny Willett was shocked, you know, when he won. Dustin Johnson was interesting considering everything he was going through in that final round. Henrik Stenson, we talked about that duel that he had, and Jimmy Walker as well. You know, I guess I would kind of point it out to Henrik Stenson, considering he did beat an iconic name in the game, and he did finally capture that elusive major championship. You know, he sat down. We do, after a major championship, I'm fortunate enough to sit down with the winner for one-on-one that will air on Morning Drive and Golf Central on the following Monday after the major championship. And you know, you ask Henrik Stenson, who I consider, you know, one of the greatest players of the game right now, did he ever think that he would finish his career without a major championship? And to hear him, I mean, he's a big guy. You know, he's mm-hmm. great guy and everything. But, you know, so, yeah, I did. I was totally insecure. I thought that my whole career would be without a major championship. You know, and he's in the latter part of his career. And to hear him say that, and then with the claret jug right behind him, you know, it's interesting to hear him say that, and then, you know, symbolically the optics of hearing him say that, and then with the jug right behind him is quite interesting as well. So, you know, I guess Henrik winning that major championship this year is something that has eluded him for his entire career. And he's a great interview, too. And if those two guys will tell you, too. He's funny. He's candid. He's honest. So, you know, he's a great interview.
Yes, those are the best interviews, when people let their guard down a little bit. But it's interesting because people think TV is so glamorous. And, I mean, both of you are so glamorous, let's be honest. But people see a fraction of what you do. I mean, you put together for Golf Central a 3-minute piece that you've spent truly all day working on. So give us an idea, Todd, if you don't mind, of your schedule and what you have to do to prepare and get your little notes. I shadowed with you. I was on the road and got to learn a few little tips and tricks that you do. So give us an idea of a typical Todd Lewis starting on, let's say, a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday?
Yeah. Well, pick a day.
All right. Well, you know, I could actually just kind of pick a week. If it's interesting, and these guys, I think, you know, I'd love to get their take too. But for me, it's more than just covering the golf tournament. You're also kind of enjoying the city that the golf tournament is in, which means great restaurants. And sometimes you go out to the local watering hole and find that out. You got to have a nice, decent hotel, you know, where you can function properly, and good parking. So you got to have all of those kind of coming together. And then when you get to the golf course, then you kind of work with the credit that you've built up with the players over the years. I mean, I'm entering my 10th year next year, and these guys have been out on the PGA Tour too, Rex and Will, and they've established great relationships. And, you know, you kind of work the range. You look at the field list. You work it like it's a Wednesday, the pro-am list, where you're going to have all the most popular players out there. And you're going to go out there and conduct the story that's given for that day/week or for that event. And that's, you know, that's the biggest thing for me in my job, is to make sure that you do maintain a relationship, because the players watch Golf Channel and the wives watch even more because you're talking about their guy. And so that relationship starts with making sure that you give quality effort, that you are fair and do a good job on the air. That's where the relationship starts. Then after that, it's personality to personality. So, you know, it depends on the situation as to, I mean, it's a long-winded answer, but it depends on the situation as to what my day is like. But more than anything, it's about establishing a fair relationship with players, but also understanding the fact that you're working for the viewers watching the Golf Channel. You're not really kind of pandering to them. You know, you have to ask some difficult, fair, tough questions at times, because that's who you're working for, the viewer.
You know, Todd brought up watering holes, so I have to walk through the open door.
I've had some beverages before on the road many times.
Well, Well, no, and we have. But the bigger thing with you is karaoke bar.
Yes, the karaoke.
What was the season's best karaoke bar? I mean, I know you've had a couple options to choose from here.
Well, look, let me just debunk this myth that I go to every karaoke bar in town when I show up. There are a couple of spots that I go, and I don't do karaoke generally, but sometimes I'll find a band and I'll jump on stage with them. And probably one of the most fun tournaments that I've worked is in Palm Springs at the beginning of the year. And they have this place called The Nest. And if you live out in the California desert, you've heard of it. A lot of people come from Los Angeles to come there. Celebrities come to this place. As a matter of fact, the first time I went in there, that the lead guitarist for Kiss was playing with the band. Now, let me describe the band. It's essentially a piano bar, and it has a saxophonist on one side and a rhythm guitar guy on the other side. And the audience there, look, I'm 49. When I walk into that place, I lower the age average by about 10 to 15 years. So it's people who are
seasoned.
I guess I'll say that. And they're there to kind of mix and mingle and, you know, meet the opposite sex and have a good time. And it's a singles bar for senior citizens. Let's just say that. And it is hilarious. It is fantastic. And occasionally I will sing with the band. I've been known to sing with the band a couple of times because I got to know the owner there. So it's a lot of fun.
A couple times. I will say Rex and I have both had the privilege and honor of witnessing a Todd Lewis karaoke special on the road. And it is an absolute season highlight anytime it happens. For me, I think it's been a couple years in Akron, T. Lou. I believe you were somewhere around Kent State when you took the stage and just took the whole place by storm. So certainly, Chantel, I would add that to your list. I don't know if that fell under the shadowing duties. But a Todd Lewis karaoke is not to be missed.
Well, he has the pipes, but it's all the showmanship.
Yes.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
it's a true
sing.
Performance.
Jazzes it up.
I do.
Yes.
I don't even know what I'm doing. What is the showmanship like?
It's just
what
a true performance.
I guess you're just in the moment. You're using all the tricks. Okay, so Rex, we'll switch gears here for a minute. Todd can claim the karaoke. What about you away from the course on the road?
No karaoke for me. No, that's cornered by Todd Lewis. I got to let that go. Probably the best event of the year for me, and it was Abu Dhabi earlier this season. And the reason I was kind of staying, and Todd and I have been there together, and he can kind of attest to this, and staying a little bit away from the golf course this year and with some players, and just walking down to the beach every night and running into Ricky Fowler and running into Bryson DeChambeau, who's kind of making his pro debut, and having a chance to spend time with them and seeing, I mean, you don't really get a chance to see them away from the golf course as much as we would like. But, I mean, to see them out on the town, walking the beach, talking with people, I mean, it was really a cool experience.
Well, you got a moment that sticks out to you?
So when I'm on the road, I'm always looking at the calendar to figure out what other sporting events are in town. So there have been a couple this year. The one that sticks out for me, I was at the Shell Houston Open and was able to write my column, which was still excellent, I might add. But I wrote it in record time to get across town to get to the Final Four when North Carolina and Villanova and Syracuse were playing. So I missed the first half of the Villanova game, but I sat in a Villanova section, caught a ticket very cheap walking in, and was there for North Carolina Syracuse in the nightcap. It was excellent, and came back. Had a tough time convincing Steve Berkowski to pull the same move. A lot of people were not thinking the timing was going to work out, trying to get all the way across Houston and back. Had no issues.
Good. So, hey, you got to take advantage.
Yeah.
It can be a grind on the road. Tales from the road here, but I know I get exhausted. I end up crashing at like 9 p.m. and wake up, watch my morning drive, and get on with my life. But I got to start doing the exploring.
There was also during the PGA Championship, we went to a Mets game. It was up at Bald Straw in New Jersey, and that the highlight, Rex, you'll like this, was the visual of Ryan Lavner behind the wheel of an SUV driving through the Holland Tunnel and into Manhattan because we had to take the scenic route.
I think I begged out of that.
There was a high level of stress for about a 20-minute stretch there. Yeah. It all worked out well, but, you know, he's really one who handles the situation well.
All right, well, Todd, back to you for a minute. With all of the things that you've covered this year and also being a new dad, this year is definitely going to stick out for a long time. But what is maybe one day this year that you would say will never fade?
Well, I'm going to go back to Rio. I mean, just, you know, Rex mentioned we were privileged enough to go to a couple of events outside of golf, and the golf we've already spoke about. But, you know, I had a chance to go see some cool sports that I would never see, to be honest with you. I mean, I went to weightlifting. I went to ping pong. I went to what else did I do? The velodrome, the in stadium bicycling. You know, went to see all those cool events, and that's, you know, it's really amazing. But I did get a chance to go see Michael Phelps swim, and I watched him win gold medal number 20 and 21. So kind of going what Will was talking about, other sporting events in town, when you're at the Olympics, there are a lot to choose from. So to go to see swimming and see the most decorated athlete win a couple of gold medals, that stood out to me, something from the road that I'll never, ever forget.
History in the making. It's pretty cool that you got to see that. Well, we'll let you work on your golf game, and best of luck this afternoon to tee off.
Thanks, guys.
Keep those vocal cords on ice, Tilo.
La, 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 la. I'll be good.
All right. See ya. All right, Rex, going back to the Olympics for a minute. Food, how was it? Give us, like, an idea of the full experience. Because, I mean, we hyped it up for so long while it was happening. The coverage was nonstop, but, like, tell us what we might not have seen on camera.
It goes back to not really what we expected. I mean, I think once you got down there and you realize that, you know, you were kind of inside the Olympic bubble, not so much in the village, but inside the Olympic bubble, and just experience it all. One night we went down to Copacabana and saw the beach volleyball competition, which was incredible. I mean, it's exactly what you would have expected. They built this huge stadium right on the beach. And so everything about it was just much, much different than maybe you would have expected. But getting out, we went to Ipanema and kind of walked around and saw the sights in the city a little bit. And it's a beautiful place. And, you know, in retrospect, I think probably a lot of athletes, a lot of people wish they would have gone down because it was such a special atmosphere. And like Tilo, I had a chance to see Michael Phelps swim his last couple of races. And, again, I keep going back to handball. I mean, I want to start a golf channel handball league.
We can get that going.
Yeah. We can set it up. But there's got to be room around here somewhere.
Yeah, go. You know, make way. One simulator can just be a handball net. We can just start practicing.
But it was a very special experience. And I don't know, you know, you start looking ahead to Tokyo, and suddenly the expectations start getting so high. And on a certain level, I think the expectations for the Olympics were diminished because of everything we had heard. Mm-hmm. And very few things in life, very few things in golf exceed your expectations. Augusta always seems to do it, but certainly Rio did it as well.
Yeah. Well, you both write plenty. I'm sure some stories and people and features are more memorable than others this past year. Anything that sticks out?
I had a chance, and I don't even know how this happened, but John Daly sets up in the parking lot right on Washington Road outside of Augusta at the Hooters restaurant. He sets up a store, and he signs stuff, and he interacts with the fans. And he was turning 50 this year, so I had a chance to go down and sit with him and do a long interview. I basically spent the better part of a day with him. And that stands out to me because, it's a side of, I mean, we all know John Daly's story. We all know what he's been through in life. But to have the opportunity to not just sit there and talk to him about this next chapter, which is going to be the Champions Tour and getting back to competition, but to see him interact with fans. And it was, I think we started the interview at 8 a.m. And the best part about it is Ron White, I don't know if you know him, he's a comedian, a very well-known comedian. But he walks in 10 minutes into the interview, and he wants John to cook him breakfast. And so John sort of gets up in the middle of the interview, and we're still talking, and he gets up, and he makes Ron White breakfast and eggs and the whole nine yards. And it was just a really, really cool scene.
And certainly when you get to be exposed to somebody in that kind of setting, you learn things about them that you will not learn on the golf course, and you will not learn during competition because they unbutton a little bit. So what did you learn in that particular setting about him that you might not have been able to observe in the past?
He's a heck of a cook. No, he really is. And again, you kind of.
What do you make?
Scrambled eggs.
Okay, that's okay. You can't screw that up though.
Trust me, you could.
Yeah.
I could very, very easily. But I think I learned how much competition meant to John. Because again, we all know those stories. We all know. I mean, a lot of people would probably say that he wasted all that talent, and I don't think that's the case at all. And the best part of that interview, outside of the Ron White issue, was John talking about his son and the troubles that his son has on the golf course with anger, with hitting it a long way, with throwing clubs, with probably using inappropriate language. And he's telling these stories, and he stops, and he looks at me, and he goes, I know, he got it all from me. And he talked at length about how difficult that is for him. How does he go to his son go, no, can't do that on the golf course. Right. When, you know, there's 18,000 shots of him on YouTube doing the exact same thing at PGA Tour events. It was really an inside look at someone that you don't get an opportunity to see very often. It was awesome.
And how about for you, Will? What?
So I did a feature on Beef. I went to dinner with Beef. And
nice.
It almost didn't happen. And this will go back to stuff you were saying before about behind the scenes things. And when you're on the road, certainly as writers, very reliant on the phone. Mm-hmm. You're in a town you don't know. You use it a lot for the mapping to get from hotel to course to wherever. You're using it for interviews, to transcribe interviews, all that stuff. So I had set up a dinner with Beef after like the second round of the Bridgestone in Akron, and I was going to meet him at 7 o'clock. And we're sitting all in the media center. You have the TV folks and the writers are next to each other. And so I'm sitting next to George Savarikas, who's the on-air reporter, and they leave when the last putt drops, basically. They're out at like 6:01 if the coverage ends at 6. So I have my phone, we all have the same phones, out of my desk transcribing interviews, and I go and get off my desk and I come back and George is gone and he has taken my phone because he thought it was his phone. And I have to be at this dinner in like 25 minutes. It's across town. I have no idea how to get there if I can't map it on my phone. I was going to record the whole dinner on my phone. I don't know how to get in touch with George because he has my phone that I would use to call him to say, hey, George, you have my phone. So I had about 4.5 minutes of blind panic, ended up finding another writer's phone that had George's number to call, get him to come back to the course, give me my phone, and then went to dinner. And it all worked out, but it could have not because of George's quick fingers with the phones.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what did you learn from Beef that day?
I learned he can take down a 32-ounce tomahawk steak without any issue. He goaded his brother into ordering the same thing, and his brother did not finish, so Beef won that round for sure. But he's just as affable and as happy-go-lucky off the course as he is on. He's injected an incredible amount of personality, I think, into both the European Tour, the PGA Tour, clearly the fans that we saw at the Open when you were there in Scotland at the PGA Championship. We were both there at Baltusrol. He took the game by storm this summer, and few people are able to do that quite to that level.
It'll be fun on the PGA Tour this year.
Yeah.
Get
him to Phoenix.
That will be awesome.
I know he is looking forward to the 16th hole at Phoenix, and I think that the folks at TPC Scottsdale will welcome him with open arms.
And those commercials, too. I mean, when you want people to get involved with golf and you want to welcome everybody from all walks of life, the commercials that he's done with Arby's are actually, you'd want to. If you're sitting in the middle of the country, you've never picked up a golf club, you'd be like, okay, you know, this guy is my kind of people. I might pick this up. I think it's a really welcoming message that he sent. So we need to make sure people get involved here because we want to hear from you because you can actually choose programming. Golf Channel is giving viewers a chance to help build its December primetime schedule by voting on some of the most outstanding tournament moments of the year, maybe some that we've mentioned.
Yep.
All you have to do is log on to golfchannel.com/fan favorites and vote for your 10 favorite televised rounds of the year. Fan favorite voting will continue until November 6th, and fans can vote for up to 10 of their favorites once per day. The top 10 rounds will air across 10 consecutive nights of golf on Golf Channel, December 19th to the 30th. Viewers can join the conversation during the fan favorite rounds by using the hashtag #GolfFanFaves. That was a mouthful, but I got it all out.
There you go.
All right, so favorite round, since we're on the topic of it now. What would you put in your fan favorite?
My favorite round or the favorite round I watched? Because I didn't have a favorite round. Probably Phil's 63.
On 62 round one, and a half.
62 and a half,
yes.
Yeah. And that's the way he's going to look at it. That's the way Phil's always going to look at it. On Thursday at Royal Troon, and I think Royal Troon is probably one of the most underrated of all the Open Championship road courses. I mean, I love Troon almost as much as St. Andrews. It's such a cool place. But to see him to go out and do that, and keep in mind, this is a guy up until just a few years ago, Muirfield.
Yep.
No one ever expected him to do anything. He had never done anything, basically, at the Open Championship. And for him to figure it out that late in his career and to do that, what he did, and he knew. The history was on the line. I mean, he was looking at leaderboards. He knew exactly what he was closing in on. And his reaction after shooting 62 and a half, which is 63 in the record books, and walking off the golf course and how gutted he was. He goes, I just shot the round of my life, and he felt like jumping off a building, I think was his quote, walking off the golf course. And it was an amazing experience. And then, you know, to have it basically play out again 3 days later during that final round head-to-head with Henrik Stenson, it was fantastic.
I would go for one of the strangest rounds this year on the PGA Tour. I will take Brant Snedeker's 69 at Torrey Pines in the midst of basically a hurricane out there. And you think San Diego and the beautiful beaches. And that wind was whipping. Guys were shooting in the 80s without really playing that poorly. And there goes Brant Snedeker shooting a 69 that gained easily 8, 7, 8, 9 shots on the field. He ended up winning the golf tournament, coming back on Monday for a Monday finish where he didn't have to finish a shot. But if you're talking about just rounds that stick out from the 2016 season, that's going to be high on the list.
That's going to be your hashtag fan favorite.
Hashtag fan favorite.
All right.
Gotta use the hashtag.
You've never used a hashtag?
Always use the hashtag.
Oh, always use it. Yeah. I was going to say, I know you've used hashtags before. Okay, so
we got to give Rex the social media lessons. We'll get him on the
we'll
hashtag.
We'll take care of that after this.
I know what a hashtag is.
Let's go back the entire year. What is one thing that you will never forget? Give us a little anecdote, a little story, something we might not know about you.
And this is kind of tough, all right? So take politics out of this.
Okay.
Let's just take the presidential politics out of this. Of course, Donald Trump is a huge part of golf, or was a huge part of golf before the tour left Doral. And there was a surreal moment on Saturday morning when Mr. Trump was showing up at Doral during the WGC, and the tour was trying to control it as much as they could, and they couldn't. They obviously couldn't because of the situation. But he comes onto the range, and he talks to some players, and he comes to the far side of the range. He's doing an interview with Gary Williams for Golf Channel, and he's getting mic'd up, and I was just kind of standing behind the camera, and he looks up, and he sees me, and he walks around, and I had met him a few times, and he comes over and shakes my hand and asks about my family, and we sit there for 15 minutes talking about the golf course, talking about the tournament, talking about who I think is going to win the whole nine yards. And you really, it was great because you saw the golf fan in Donald Trump. You didn't see the businessman or the politician or anyone else. You saw the golf fan. He was really curious about what's the state of Rory's game? How is Brant Snedeker playing? How's Phil playing? And he's very passionate about golf, and I think we'll probably get back to that at some point. But that stands out to me.
There you go.
How about for you,
Will? So, Chantel, you can attest to this. I have a couple of hats of now defunct NHL hockey teams. I don't know why, but I've collected them over the years. So I've got a Whalers hat. I've got
Whalers
hat. And I've got a Quebec Nordiques hat.
Wow.
And so I'm wearing the Quebec Nordiques hat out at Pebble Beach, and I'm walking the course, I'm watching Spieth, writing a Spieth column, who's playing with Dustin Johnson, whose pro-am partner is Wayne Gretzky.
Oh.
And we're walking along the fourth hole, and Gretzky sees my Nordiques hat, and he comes over to me, and he's like, I cannot tell you the last time that I saw a Quebec Nordiques hat. And we walked up the fourth fairway was it Spyglass? It wasn't at Pebble, but we're at Spyglass just talking about hockey nostalgia and the Quebec Nordiques with Wayne Gretzky. And that was a moment that will stick out
this year. Now you're going to have to get a Vegas hat.
Yeah, well, see, they're going to exist, though. That's not the whole point.
I need
Minnesota North Stars, and I was going to get Winnipeg Jets with the old logo, but now they're back. I'm feeling very conflicted.
Hashtag help Will with his hats.
Yes. Hat game on point. There's
I've actually, interestingly enough, I worked in news, so I covered Donald Trump in the election, and it was in New Hampshire, so I've met him, and he was in his businessman zone, so I didn't get to see the golf fan, but that would be really fun to talk about stuff outside, because he's a passionate guy, so it would be great to see him a little bit away from the cameras, maybe.
And Bob Parsons, who started PXG Golf, I had an opportunity to go to Scottsdale and spend some time with him. And just a very fascinating guy. I mean, just from a business perspective, I just didn't see that coming, you know, what he turned out to be. So I'd have to put that a very, very close second. But, seeing
stories.
Trump under those circumstances.
Yeah, both good stories. And, obviously, Wayne Gretzky has reasons why he is a fan, of course, Dustin Johnson. But I think that I know he watches. I have been with Steve Sands while they're on the phone, and they will be dissecting rounds. I mean, I had no idea that he was that passionate about it. So it's good stuff. It's good to have golf fans all over.
Well, and the other one at the Ryder Cup with Michael Jordan inside the ropes and walking. And, of course, Fred Couples is inside the ropes as well. And so those two are very good friends. So to be in that threesome just sitting as a fly on the wall listening to conversation, that was fun.
Peeling back the onion here, Chantel.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
A lot of name dropping. But
there's a little bit of that, too. Now, how about going forward? We're talking Vegas. But what golf event are you looking forward to 2017?
I'm still sitting here thinking about 2016, so it's kind of hard to look ahead. I think when you start looking at the majors next year, you always look forward, obviously, to what can happen at Augusta, because it's something always seems to happen there that's special. Mm-hmm. So that I think Aaron Hills, probably for the U.S. Open, is the one I'm looking forward to the most, simply because it's going to be an unknown. It's a new quantity. You don't know how it's going to play as a golf course. You don't know the area. So that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Well, what do you got?
He stole my answer. I was going to say, you always like, that's all right. Well, I'll adapt, and I'll go with the other new venue, and we're going to see Quail Hollow for the PGA Championship. How will that play?
Classically different.
Yes, they've undergone some renovations. How will it play differently than it has as the Wells Fargo Championship host? You've got Phil and Rory both who have such strong track records at that course. Will it hold up under major stress? But I agree with you. I think the great unknown of Aaron Hills, anytime, as we saw at Chambers Bay, anytime the USGA gets their hands on a new cookie jar, it's always interesting to see what can happen. So that's one that we're going to have to watch.
WGC in Mexico City. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
I am. And, you know, the tour is very good. We talked a lot about Rio, and I think maybe they learned a lot of lessons from Rio about being proactive and explaining to players exactly what the scenario is going to be, the situation on the ground is going to be. And they've been very good about not only the players but the media and the families and the caddies and everyone else and explaining. I think it's going to end up being a very special event. Sad to see it leave Doral. Love Doral, but, yeah, it's going to be a new addition.
Yep. Onward we go. Well, 2016, action-packed. Gosh, that calendar was so full. So it's almost like 2017. You're like a little bit of a breather here.
We're in the wraparound portion. We're basically in 2017 now.
Yes.
We're
just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yes.
We're rolling right along.
All right. Well, that does it for us. For Rex, Will, I'm Chantel. We'll see you next week on Monday Scramble.